You want Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's gets it. We checked the calendar, and Christmas is coming early. $99 is all you need to grab your favorite select 7-foot pre-lit artificial Christmas tree for the holiday season. And don't sweat what gifts to get Dad, because we've got up to 40% off select tools and accessories. That's how Lowe's celebrates Black Friday early. Selection varies by location while supplies last.
This is CBS Eye on the World, the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor, joined by my colleague, Professor Evan Ellis, U.S. Army War College, returning from his testimony on Capitol Hill to the United States Senate Subcommittee on the Americas. This is in the Foreign Affairs Committee, chaired by John Curtis of Utah, ranking Senator Tim Kaine of Virginia. A polite, straightforward, and easy-to-listen-to presentation by the senators, who are well-informed, and credit to their staffs, and Professor Ellis and his colleague, Professor Custer. We're looking at details around the edges, but the big story of the PRC attempt to influence peddle in the Americas is the Panama Canal, the big story. Now, there have been developments, but we'll begin with the fact that the new Secretary of State, Mr. Rubio, his first embassy overseas, right away after his confirmation, was in the Central American states that are of influence, but especially right to Panama City, right to sitting with President Mulino. That's the first event. Following that, there was the announcement that Panama was breaking its pledge to the Belt and Road Initiative. That looked to be moving in a good direction, although I learned from the professor and his remarks at the meeting that its chief significance is that it's a no, and there haven't been very many about Belt and Road no's. There's other things that are of grave concern. Professor, I read a headline from the Bloomberg within hours. China holds off deals with Li Keqiang after Panama ports deal. There was never a question that C.K. Hutchinson's sale of its Panama Canal port assets to BlackRock-led consortium might face backlash from China. Well, here it is. What does it look like, Professor? What can China do? Because Larry Fink announced this sale to the president. That doesn't sound like it's going to be broken unless you spend about a lifetime in the courts. Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. Well, to start out with the strategic significance of Panama from not only a commercial logistics and peacetime perspective as a financial hub for the projection of commercial influence, but also in time of war, as we had spoken about before, you have U.S. Deployment and sustainment flows, which would be coming out of U.S. East Coast ports and from the Atlantic, going through the Caribbean and through Panama. And so the ability to shut down the Panama Canal becomes strategically vital in that race against time to defend Taiwan before the PRC and the People's Liberation Army can essentially consolidate control over there. So in that context, the vitality of keeping the Panama Canal open, the focus has been on the series of different Chinese assets there. And there's been a misunderstanding about this because, first of all, the broader issue, just like defending against terrorism, is the combination of PRC physical access, technical knowledge, and the ability to influence people. So in that context, it has been relevant that two of the five ports that are there in the Panama Canal zone are operated by China-type firms. And those were in Cristobal and Balboa, those operated since 1999 by Hutchison. Now, the head of Hutchison, Li Keqiang, is an interesting figure because although he's Hong Kong tied and PLA tied, he also has been quietly over the past a couple of decades trying to deleverage himself, move away from dependence on the PRC. And so in the context of the attention to the Hutchison presence in those ports, Li Keqiang decided to essentially sell off his holdings to BlackRock to Larry Fink. Now, I would mention a couple things because Number one, it's not over yet. As you alluded to, the PRC, not at all happy about losing its access to not only these ports, but also ports in the Bahamas, ports elsewhere in the Americas, including Mexico, through this sell-off, is doing everything that it can to essentially punish Li Ka-shing and punish Hutchison for this. And so the big news just this morning is that the Chinese are ordering the rest of their state-owned enterprises to essentially cut off Li Ka-shing and Hutchison to, I think, really try to strong-arm them to pull out of the deal. So danger number one is that the Hutchison deal could still be upended at this point, and so they could still end up in the port. Beyond that, when we go back to that core issue of, you know, the real threat isn't just Hutchison. The core threat is that combination of physical access and technical knowledge and influence. It becomes relevant that the other Chinese entities, such as, for example, the logistics firm Costco, which is one of the biggest users of the canal, they're still there. China Communications and Construction Corporation, CCCC, which is building one of the bridges, they're still there. You still have numerous other Chinese firms that are operating in the logistics spaces, such as Cologne and Panama Pacifico. They're still there. They continue to get you that combination of physical access and technical knowledge and influence. And oh, by the way, if that were not enough, there is another firm. There used to be a big port initiative on the Cologne side called the Panama Cologne Container Port, or PCCP. It was by a shady Chinese entity called LandBridge. That collapsed a couple of years ago when the Chinese investor that was ahead of it was essentially arrested and sent to prison in China. However, that also may be taking on new life as a new Chinese project, because a China-friendly firm by the name of Notark, which is named in a lawsuit in the Bahamas for bad behavior, colluding with the Chinese elsewhere. Notark apparently has a property claim that would allow it to take forward the Panama Cologne Container Port. And so at the end of the day, the effort on Panama to get them to renounce, the Belt and Road Initiative, which really contractually doesn't mean anything, but it's a nice symbolic thing. The Hutchison withdrawal. So essentially, both because of Hutchison and because of the other types of Chinese presence in Panama, given the criticality of the canal, really takes us to the conclusion that we're moving in a positive direction, but we're not out of the woods yet.
The Panama Canal right now is run by a private corporation, and Mulino is the president of the country. What's that relationship look like? Can Mulino tell it what to do?
Well, so the organization that administers the Panama Canal, it's called the Panama Canal Authority, and it actually is contractually given autonomy from the Panamanian government. There's some influence there in terms of the naming of administrators, but in the interest of Panama's own commitments to operate the canal in a way that's open to everyone and under equal terms to everyone under the 1977 Panama Canal Treaty and the Neutrality Treaty, that neutrality of ACP is set up. Now, beyond that, there's a broader organization called the Panamanian Maritime Authority, or AMP, which is involved in essentially administering the broader space in which you have the logistics operations, the ports, and things like that. So the ports actually do not come under the Panamanian Canal Authority, but rather the Maritime Authority. Now, with respect to Mulino, ironically, Mulino is a person who should have had good relations with President Trump. He's very concerned about immigration. He's kind of a no-nonsense, gruff business person. He's really been trying to do what's possible within the Panamanian Canal Treaty, in my judgment, to try to accommodate President Trump, as we saw. Although, again, I think some of these misunderstandings, like the fact that the Canal Authority, is not having prejudicial pricing, that the Chinese are not actually operating. It's actually ACP that's operating the canal. I think some of those difficulties in doing things under Panama's treaty obligations, such as, giving the U.S. a special rate, the things that Mulino can't do in order to accommodate the United States, I think creates a certain amount of frustration in how Panama can keep President Trump happy on the canal issue.
In your testimony to the senators, you mentioned a corporation or a company or a presence called Notark. Did they want to know more about that? Were they well informed about Notark?
John, this is something that's just now emerging. As a matter of fact, there are a number of different media organizations that you might be hearing more about NOTARC in the coming days or weeks. So this is something that's been kind of below the radar screen. NOTARC is a relatively small company. It's not Chinese per se, but there was another case that we've talked about on this program in the Bahamas, where a local investor by the name of Sarkis Ismirlian tried to build this mega resort, a $4.2 billion resort. He made the bad decision to hire China Construction Americas, which is a Chinese firm called China State Construction and Engineering. That's their legal Latin America incarnation. And so what Ismirlian in the Bahamas alleges is this firm NOTARC was colluded with CCA to basically, you know, help the Chinese essentially rip him off and take control of his property there. Then NOTARC, again, also kind of skirting behind the scenes, comes into play in PCCP because, again, another shady Chinese entity, that Chinese land bridge deal that we talked about, apparently NOTARC, some of the members of their board were tied to the PCC project. And so when China Landbridge essentially fell apart, that NOTARC inherited the control of some of the property involved in PCCP. And so what you have is this kind of behind the scenes situation in which this, you know, again, flying below the radar, NOTARC essentially has one of the key rights to go forward with PCCP. Initially, it looked like they were going to go forward with Mediterranean Shipping, MSC. Although what I've also learned is MSC, which is worried about NOTARC's ties to China, maybe trying to move away from working with them on PCCP and trying to work more through their BlackRock connections to get into Panama in other ways. And so I think, again, this is something that, because it's complicated, their ties in different places is just beginning to merge on the scene as, again, not the problem, but part of what is a very complex problem of the Chinese trying to influence Panama and keep their hooks in Panama in different ways, despite what's happened with the positive news with the withdrawal from the Belt and Road and the positive news replacing Hutchison with BlackRock.
My measure of Panama, reporting just for a few years, nothing with the care that you and your colleagues have lavished on Panama, is that it is not stable because of its geographic location, because of the millions who might have passed through there in these last years, the Darien Gap, and also because there's trouble with the other sources of income, including that copper mine that is not now operating, and also the drought of 2023, I believe, that led to them having to construct a new source of water, if that ever happens again. There are projects underway, bridges and roads, that look to be afforded by Chinese cutouts, maybe Japanese banks. I can't tell. It's all very vague. Your opinion of Panama, is it vulnerable to instability because of any of those facts?
Well, that's a great question, John. So first of all, probably in the hierarchy of Latin American countries and corruption and governance, Panama is probably someplace in the middle or on the positive side. Because of the canal, because of the revenues that have come through the canal, because of the requirement under the treaty that the canal authority was technically competent and administered in a fair way, Panama, at least the canal zone, has historically had a pretty good level of governance and technical capacity. Now, having said that, Panama is also relatively prosperous and has some good governance because it has been a international financial center and you need the confidence and transparency in banking. Still, there have been problems. Panama was on the Financial Action Task Force gray list for its role in the financial sector, going back to the Varela days and the Cortizo days, although things have gotten better. Panama, in other parts of the country, has had corruption in other institutions, so there are concerns there. The Panamanian families are famous for stripping the revenues out of lots of foreign investors. The other things that you mentioned are indeed stresses on the Panamanian economy. The fact that they took a hit to the revenue from the canal during that famous record 2023 drought and have been trying to fix it. They took a hit, as you pointed out, when a new development, the Cobre Panama mine, which had begun to account for literally 5% of Panama's GDP. Because of environmental protests and because of really a bad legislative maneuver, was forced to shut down. So the Mulino government is now trying to reopen that. And so the way I would characterize it is that the Panama is certainly a government that has been under stresses. It certainly has had its problems with corruption and lack of transparency. But on the essentially sliding scale from, you know, countries such as Uruguay and Chile that are maybe at the top of the scale in terms of governance, in countries like Venezuela and Haiti, which are at the bottom, if you look at the Transparency International indicator, Panama is again, someplace in the middle, probably on the positive side, but certainly struggling with problems that make it vulnerable. And especially when Panama, as we've seen, is such a focus, both of the United States and in China, these struggles for strategic dominance, which have to do with both peacetime and commercial advantage, as well as wartime vulnerabilities and opportunities.
Professor Avenelis, U.S. Army War College, from his testimony to the United States Senate, PRC influence and the status of Taiwan's diplomatic allies in the Western Hemisphere. We need to check in on Venezuela, Trinidad, Aragua, El Salvador, and the courts. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got all the essentials for comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style you can count on. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and effortless looks. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25.